Okay, Proverbs 15, verse 16 and 17. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much for the word of God. Thank you so much that it's alive and true. And Lord, we think of all the prayer requests that we had tonight, in men's group, ladies group, and in here. Lord, I pray that you'd answer each one of those according to your will. And Lord, just be with us tonight. Lord, I struggled with this one for quite a while, and I just pray that your words would come out of my mouth tonight that you want these people to hear. And Lord, just thank you for the opportunity. What a privilege it is to preach the word of God. In your name, amen. All right, reading through Proverbs this week, or last week, and came across the phrase, better is. So, and I just intrigued, you know, the world thinks they have all the answers. And I like the word better, because the world always comes up with the best answers. This truck is the best, the F-150 is the best, right, brother? You know, it's just... That's what he says. That's what he thinks. So he needs to come to the altar. So many things the world offers, they say, you know, the commercials, it's the best, it's the best, it's the best. I like the way the Lord always says, mine's better. Never fails. Better. It's better. Mine's better. Everything I got is better. Doesn't matter what you got. I got whatever I have is better. And so I caught this, and I've noticed this before, but I never really bothered to stop and look it up. But I looked up the phrase, better is. So on the list, on the board, you have all the better is's from the Word of God. You probably thought that said ISIS, didn't you? Didn't you? It's better is's. So we're going to go through this tonight. This is really interesting. If you read through these, write them down on a piece of paper and read through them. And see, we're just going to go through what I noticed when I read through these, and I'll tell you what, it's a humbling experience, and that's part of the sermon tonight is humbling. You just see too many. It's getting to the end now, and there's people out there looking for the truth. A few, there are, and we've run across them. Every once in a while, last Friday down at the university, that kid came up wide open. He came up to the ladies. What are you handing out? And just started talking to him about it. And he was raised Catholic. And they just gave him the gospel. He said, "Wow, that just makes so much sense." He goes, "That's like a no-brainer." You know, so there's people out there still looking for the truth. They've been taught wrong their whole lives, you know, by the world that has the best answers, you know. And, you know, I know I've mentioned this many times, you know, like at work, they're handing out the drugs, you know. Oh, here, try this. This will cure it. Oh, that didn't work. Try this. Oh, well, that didn't work. Try this. And, you know, he's got limbs falling off and everything. What next, you know? You know, so, well, that was kind of a bad side effect there, wasn't it? So, so let's see what the Bible says is better. A life that's better. And we can't go out into a world... Well, we'll get to that in a second. Let's look at the first thing is... I wrote down poor versus rich. And you look at these verses up here, and you got the two we read, and the first section is pretty much covering the poor physically. So you got little with the fear of the Lord. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and the hatred therewith. 16:18, better is little with righteousness and great revenues without right. We live in a society now where even the churches are going after material things mean more than anything. We're following a world that leads people down a road of saying, you got to have this, you got to have that. If you don't have this, you don't fit in. And you know what? It's just getting to the point where I don't care if I fit in. I really don't. I just, people need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the truth. They don't need to judge me by what shoes I'm wearing. If they go, they can go to Goodwill and find out what kind of shoes I'm wearing. That's where I'm at, all right? You want to see my wardrobe? Go to Goodwill. There you go. So you got this, you can kind of see a pattern here, though. And we'll go over that here in a little bit. Chapter 19, better is a poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Better is a poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse and in his ways, though he be rich. Ecclesiastes 4:6 says, better is a handful with quietness. Both hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. To have a lot of stuff, you know. I'm just getting to the point, you know, where, some of you have moved in the past, and some of you have packed some things in the past, and you get to the point where you're like, you're finding things that you, at the time when you bought it, you absolutely needed this item, and now it's somewhere buried in the deepest, darkest corner of the garage. Or under a bunch of junk, you're like, wow, what was this again? Or, oh man, I forgot I had that. Well, I better keep that just in case I need it again. No, it's stuff. It's junk. You don't need it. And the more you look, if you just look at something and say, am I really going to use that again? Do I really, really need it? No, you don't. You know, well, keep a car. You know, that's a good thing to keep if it's running. But you know, physically, stuff. It's getting to the point where you're better off. You know, I turned in my papers to retire at work, and without fail, everybody is, well, how many years you got in? Well, what's your retirement look like? How much are you going to get a month? You know what? I don't care. You know, I'm tired of jail, for one thing. Tired of going to jail. The second thing is the Lord's always given us exactly what we need. Every time, it's always, we look and say, how much do we have left in the checkbook? And like, oh my, but the bills are paid, the groceries in the cupboard, and we always have just enough. So my retirement check, yeah, it's the bottom of the retirement scale. That's what it's going to be. But the Lord, He knows that. He knows what I need. He knows. He said, what does He say with having food and raiment, be there with content? Brother Nate mentioned that this morning, contentment. It's missing in our churches today. It's missing in our society. Society is huge about, man, living, you got to have everything. You know, people coming out of college wanting six-figure jobs. Are you kidding me? Start at the bottom like the rest of us did. You know, when I was in the Navy, we had... We'd get these boot camp ensigns that would come out of officer school, and they'd come on the ship and they'd be sitting there spinning the yards of, you know, they're 22 years old. You know, telling all their Navy stories, really? Meanwhile, there's a senior chief over here in the corner who's been in for 35 years, seeing everything there is possibly to see on the ocean, and here's this young kid telling these stories. You don't come in and take over the place. You start at the bottom and work your way in. All right, that was a rabbit trail. Sorry. So anyway, so we look at this, and we look at the poor versus the rich spiritually. Are we here to impress people with what we have? You know, do you think people are really going to come to you and ask you about your faith in Christ because of what you have? You know, that's like, what is that, lifestyle evangelism, where you just stand there and you... in the latest clothing, and people are just going to run up to you and ask you, what must I do to be saved? Well, let me tell you. You get this shirt? You know, yeah. You know, just because of the way you dress and the way you act. My lands, are you serious? But poor, I'm not saying wearing rags and doing this, but the more I look at the Bible and the more content we are with what we have, and the more content we are with who we're serving, I think the better witness we can be for Christ. Instead of trying to, you know, get everything the world has, that's like having a foot in the world, just kind of your toe I want to have the nice cars, but I'm going to be a witness for Christ. You know, if you got a house, like Brother Nate said, count your blessings. You got a house, you got a car that runs, you got a job, you got a good church, you got a good pastor. What else do you really need? God said He'd provide the clothing and the food. You really need anything else? I'll take that as a no. Okay, so poor versus rich. Let's look at the spiritual part. Let's look at some verses here. What physically we look at it from a little with righteousness, dinner of herbs where love is. Poor walketh in his integrity. Let's look at some verses here. You don't have to turn to them. I wrote a lot of these down. Proverbs 13:7. A couple of these are already on the board. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. How about the rich man and Lazarus? Kind of rings a bell, doesn't it? He had everything this world had to offer, and now he's screaming his lungs out. Forever. For eternity. But he had everything this world had to offer. How about all these athletes or movie stars that have all this money? Money. What's his name? Robin Williams. Millions of dollars. He could make anybody laugh. But he died. He took his life. Fame, fortune, he had everything. He had the world at his feet. Nothing. He had nothing. He was empty. He was empty. So why do we pursue after these worldly desires and worldly lusts? If the Lord blesses you with money, use it for His honor and glory. Praise God. If He gives you a promotion at work where you're making a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit, praise Him. Use it for His glory. Don't use it to make you say, now I can get all those toys that this dreaded Christian life has kept for me all these years. No. Who gave you that job? Who gave you that song? We just sang, He lendest me breath. Who gives you the abilities to do what we do? The breath, the heart beating, the blood pulsating through your veins. It's all because of God. Use it for His honor and His glory. He put us down here for His honor and His glory, not our own. Not to bring attention to ourselves. It's not about us. Ecclesiastes 4:13, better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. A poor and wise child. Think of that. A child who just came into life, doesn't know much of anything, but he's wise. He's just innocent. He'll believe what you say. You tell him, you sit back in the Sunday school classes and the boys and girls just sit there like this, if you're a good teacher. And they listen to what you have to say, though. And they soak it in, they bring it in, and they take it literally as Bible. You know, I'm not trying to be funny. They just take it for what it says. And think of the responsibility that you have back there. They're soaking that stuff in. Poor and a wise child listens. He listens and just hangs on your every word. But an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. He's so stuck in his ways. He's so stuck in what he believes. Even Christians, he gets so stuck in what you believe. And, well, I believe this is true and I won't listen to anything else. And you try to talk to them and you can tell they're not hearing a word you're saying about what you're trying to tell them. You can take them through the Bible and show them scripture after scripture after scripture. Yeah, well, you know. And you're like, oh. Yeah, beat your head against the wall. That's all that's better than trying to do that. Matthew 11:5, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now listen to this. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. We all know what happened in that story. That wasn't the verse I was going to refer to here. Next one. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Why to the poor? Because they listen. They have nothing else. When you've been, how many have been down to Juarez, the Bearing Precious Seed? Okay, cool. What do you see when you go into Juarez? Demolition. Just buildings blown to pieces. It's just a demilitarized zone. It's just, it's all beat up, blown up, buildings falling down. And what are the people like? They're smiling. They're friendly. You give them a booklet and they're excited. Wow. You know, they're poor. They have nothing left in life. They probably lived their whole life giving all their money and all their time and all their energy to that gold dome on the Catholic Church, not receiving a thing in return. And here come these Americanos in the town, and they give them a booklet of John and Romans, the Bible, the Word of God. And they're just like, wow, this is great. Even on the trip, like Brother Dave and Caleb are on right now, the people in those countries, they get a Bible, never had one before, and they're hugging it, hanging on to it, because they're poor. They're poor spiritually. They know nothing spiritually. They know nothing of the truth. And for someone to come and give them a Bible, it's just like, wow. I think we need a little bit more of that. I think we need to treat it like we've been starved from the Word of God for years. We've never had a Bible. Every time we read it, yet we have five or six of them on the shelf. We got them on our phones now. You can look up something real quick on our phone. But we treat our Bible just like, okay, where's my proverb of the day? You know? And you read it and you need to say, okay, I should be good for today. God's going to be on my side. I read his book. Those people just read, they probably read it cover to cover every day. Those little John Romans are probably wore out. So, physically, spiritually, why to the poor? Why does he always go to the poor? Because they listen. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? They have nothing else but God. We need to get back to that. We need to realize what we had before we were saved. We had nothing. We had physical stuff. We had stuff. But we had inside, we were just an empty shell. And God came along and through someone or through a sermon or through a cassette. Anybody remember those cassettes? Okay. And we heard the gospel, a tract. Someone handed us a tract. And we got saved. And life began, something all anew. And we're all excited and say, wow, look what God did for me. And now 25 years or 5, 10, 15 years down the road, we're just like, oh, gotta go to church. Wow. We need to get back to where we were poor in the Lord when we had nothing. And then we found that golden nugget. We found the Savior. And got saved. And he changed our life. Hearken, James 2:5. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised them? Now, here's where we're at. Here's where we're at. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He said, you may have everything physically, but you're poor spiritually. You're poor spiritually. That's us, the Laodicean church. How much more is it that we could possibly do for Christ? If we really concentrated, if we really surrendered our lives to Christ, how much more is it that we could do? How many more people could be going on that trip overseas right now besides Dave and Caleb? How many more people, if you took some money that you needed to buy something that you just absolutely need, you gotta have it, that could have been a box of tracks for the state fair? Just something to think about. Just something to think about. Let's look at the next group of verses here. Proverbs 16:19. Better is that thou be of a humble spirit with the lowly than divide the spoil with the proud. 16:32, better is to be slow to anger as a man is slow to anger than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. 25:7, better is he that it be said come up hither than to be put lower in the eyes of the prince. This has to do with the humble and the proud. Humble and proud. Humble in spirit. That means putting yourself aside. What did Paul say? I die daily. That's a tough thing to do, isn't it? To put yourself aside. This afternoon I wanted to take a nap so bad. I did. That was just me, but I had some things I needed to get done, and I'm just like, okay, I got to push through that. I'm so spiritual. You know me. I'm so spiritual. You guys probably slept. I didn't. But humble. Humble in spirit. What is the Lord... Maybe the Lord's been impressing upon your heart something He wants you to do or someplace He wants you to go, but you're... if I'm just here a couple more months, I'm going to get this promotion. Or if I just save up a couple more $100, I can get that car. I can get that pickup. I can get that thing. And the Lord's like saying, well, I got people that are not saved over here, and I need somebody to go. Are you humble to go? You humble? You ready to go? You ready to give up anything? Anything to go? Humble in spirit with the lowly, then divide the spoil with the proud. Ooh, that's not a good word. Have you looked up pride in the Bible? Is anybody, maybe you know, is there any verse in the Bible that says anything good about pride? Anybody? Don't be embarrassed. I haven't found one, okay? In fact, I looked up a bunch of verses, and you can kind of see all it deals with. You got humble in spirit, slow to anger, and ruleth his spirit. That's the only one I know that's done that is Christ. But that's who we're supposed to be like, right? But the mighty and he that taketh the city... Now, you've seen the mighty and he that taketh the city. That's about me. Look what I did. I mean, how many of you go to a gym and work out? Nobody's going to admit that either. But any gym you go to has mirrors, right? And the guys are sitting there in front of the mirror. You know, they're walking by the mirror like this, and all of a sudden they go, you know. You know, that's it. It's the mighty. You know, I want to be... That's the thing now. There's gyms opening up in every strip mall in the city. Look good, man. Look like this guy. And they show these guys on Muscle and Fitness who take steroids, you know, that are just huge. You know, they can't even put on their shirt. You know, they can't even tie their own shoes. They're just, you know, huge. And they scratch their head and hit themselves in the mouth with their bicep. You know, it's unbelievable. I had a friend of that when I was in the Navy. I used to work out with him. He was Mr. Puerto Rico, bodybuilder guy, and I worked out with him. I was like, really? You can kind of see the resemblance, and he would everywhere he went. But he was just huge. I mean, everything he wore was tight, you know. And it was just he was big, and everybody worshipped this guy. They did. And that's what you see in the gym nowadays. If I have this physique, everybody's just going to be looking at me, checking me out. So, if you rule your own spirit, what are you doing this for? What are you doing these things for? There it again. It's the world. The world's always got their nose in there for some odd reason. It's just the flesh. You know, we're always fighting the flesh. We always want to be in the spotlight. We always want to be the one getting the attention. Oh, that was just such a wonderful party you threw. You know, well, you know, I am the party guru, you know. Or look at that. How long have you been working out? How much weight have you lost? You know, well, you know, me, well, me and me and me and me. So it's all about worship. It's about self. It's about flesh. But to rule your own spirit, you're opening yourself up for a fall. That it can be said unto thee, come up hither. You know, I haven't quite thought this one through, but what about the rapture when that happens? And somebody who's accepted Christ and served the Lord and just humbled by what had happened in his life and what the Lord has done in his life, and the Lord says, come up hither. And these guys that are on TV, these guys that are just fake, blowing smoke, and they're just left in front of the crowds that they've led. What's the Pope going to say on rapture, on the day of the rapture? What's Benny Hinn going to say on the day of the rapture? I don't know if he's saved. I don't know. I see what he does and see what he says, and it's just like, really? What's he going to say when all these people leave and he's still standing there? What's he going to tell his people? They're going to be left lower in the eyes of the prince. Christ saying, I never knew you. I'm taking my children home. You just kind of stay there. Oh, that's going to be hard, isn't it? But let's look at some verses real quick. They've been just kind of rambling on. What does the Bible have to say about humble and proud? You know, I wrote down a few here. Well, I typed them. I won't lie. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Matthew 18:4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That's a humbling thing to admit you're wrong, isn't it? It is. That's a slap to the ego to go forward in a church service or admit to someone or admit to a God you've never seen or in person, admit to him that I was wrong all these years. I need you. I need your son. That's a hard thing to do. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Luke 14:11, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. That sounds familiar. Luke 18:14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Wow. That really sounds familiar, doesn't it? Three times in a row. The same thing. This is Christ talking. Aren't we supposed to be like Christ? Humbling ourselves. That's a hard thing to do. You know, you're out street preaching, and you know, you go out there, me and Jeff went out last Friday, and it's hard to get started because you're flesh. You're worried about what people are going to think. But really, when it boils down to, is pride. What people are going to think of me. But then you lose that. You say, these people need to hear the truth. And you start preaching. And you start seeing these people just kind of giving you glances. That's a good thing. That means they're hearing you. Even if they give you a dirty look, that means they're hearing what you're saying. They come up and confront you. They don't like what you're saying because it's truth. It's convicting. It's a humbling thing to get out there and start preaching on the street. Even to go door to door, knock on a door and talk to somebody you don't even know. That's a humbling thing. But the Lord's pleased with that because you're humbling yourself to do and bring honor to Him. It's a humbling thing. James 4:6, but He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud. Wow, how would you like to be in those shoes? No thanks, but He giveth grace unto the humble. Giveth grace unto the humble. James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Oh yeah, you're going to trip. Oh yeah, you're going to fall. And it's a humbling thing. So, oh, I got this, Lord. I got it. I'll take care of it. He's like, I want to help you up. No. I got it. Me. He's like, okay, go ahead. And you fall again. Humble yourself. We're in a state in this world and in this country where we need some people that are humble to realize we don't have the answers. We didn't write this book. We're spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, not of Todd Jensen. Todd Jensen has no good news. There's nothing in there. Todd Jensen can do nothing for your lost state except humble himself in the sight of an almighty God and say, I have an answer for you, and it's Jesus Christ. How many more people could we have on Saturday mornings? How many more people on Friday afternoons? I know we work. I know people work. I'm not trying to push people in the wrong direction. I'm not trying to tick people off. But seriously, how many times personally have I talked myself out of going on Saturday morning because of me? Well, me, you know, I don't me and me instead of him and him and him. That's what it's about. Humbling, it's humbling. 1 Peter 5:5-6, Brother Nate read this morning. Likewise, younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Anybody younger than me, you got to submit to me. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For Christ resisteth the proud. There it is again. Giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. When is that time? I don't know. But we need to humble ourselves under his hand and do what he wants us to do while there's time. He may come back and take us home tonight. You may die in the night. That means he may come back for you tonight. How much time do you have left? I don't know. None of us are guaranteed any more time. So we need to get the word out while we can. What are they going to think of me at work? Who cares? I'm preaching to myself here. Because so many times I have an opportunity to get the gospel out, and it's like, I'm going to go get lunch. Man, living. What am I going to have to face come judgment day if I don't get that guy the gospel? Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride. First one, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. That's not for the unsaved alone. Pride in the life of a Christian who can't get the gospel out. Pride in not serving God. Pride in saying, I don't need to read my Bible today, I'm going to be good. I got to get to work. I'm late. Pride in a Christian's life. It's not a good thing. Let's go on here, just a couple more verses. I forget what I wrote down in my notes. Let's read these last four here. Proverbs 16:16, better is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding than silver. There we are again with the riches and the poor. You know, it's better to get wisdom and understanding, which is the fear of the Lord and to flee evil, right? According to Job 28:28. It's all about the Lord. Getting more understanding, reading the Bible, memorizing scripture. I get jealous sometimes of these people that can memorize scripture at the drop of a hat. I really do, because I can't. I can sit here and drill a verse into my head for a week. I don't envy them. But I just sit here and oh, I hate that guy. But I'll drill a verse into my head for days and days and days and days, and then for 2 days I won't do it, and I'll say, okay, what was that verse again? You know, that's sad. That's pretty sad. But that's can I just give a quick testimony? That's what the world has to offer. You go the world's way, your mind's going to get messed up. Your brain is going to go to waste. And the world, what is the world doing now? They're pushing marijuana? Are you serious? If they're not dumb enough looking at their phones all stinking day, now we're going to make them high and dumb. And they're going to be on the roads. All over the place. They can't. I gotta get this text in. Really? Your life depends on these things. It's unbelievable. Throw it in the back seat. Wait till you get where you're going. The text will still be there when you get where you're going. The call, you can call them when you get there. Man, I miss dial phones. I really do. I miss that stuff. You know, hanging on the wall and you know, all that stuff. I miss that. I wish they had a cell phone with a dial on it. That'd be kind of cool. All right, I'm sorry. That was a rabbit trailer. Better is a poor and wise child. We read that one. An old and foolish king. An old and foolish king. A king ruling over a country. Riches. People under him in power. And this child has more wisdom than that guy. Because he won't be taught. You're not going to teach me anything. Better is a neighbor that is near than a brother afar off. I'm not sure about that one. I'll be honest. I really not. I'm not sure about that one. But somebody that's nearby when you need them, and somebody that can't be reached, we have that here. We have brothers and sisters that we can call at the drop of a hat if we need it. I know there's more to that verse. I'm just not sure how to break it down quite yet. I never could get that one down. Ecclesiastes 11:10. Two are better than one, and one is no one to help him. You go out with two. That's why you go out two by two, not door knocking, because you know you ever been at a door and you just kind of lose your place, your mind goes blank, you sit there, and you got drool coming out. But you got somebody with you that can, hey, this is what he's talking about. Here's what he's saying. Or you got somebody back here praying for you, and all of a sudden that verse comes to your mind. That's not a mistake. That's not a mistake. That's not a mistake. But if you're by yourself, you could be in trouble. I got this, Lord. Be my guest. By yourself? I don't know. I'd rather have the Lord with me to help me out. Or somebody, a friend, a good brother in Christ, good sister in Christ that can help me and say, this is what, you know, maybe afterwards somebody will come up and say, hey, this is what 2710 means. That's cool. I'll write that down. Thank you. And then I'll act like I came up with it. But real quick, last thing we're going to go over here. Second last thing. Godliness versus worldliness. Look at these verses, and look what godliness has to offer, and then what the world has to offer. Little with the fear of the Lord, trouble is the world. Dinner verbs or love is hatred. Righteousness without right. Integrity, perverse. Uprightness, perverse. Quietness, travail, vexation of spirit. You want to load your hands up with stuff? That's what you're going to have. That's what you're going to have. Trouble. You're going to have travail. You're going to have vexation of spirit. You're going to be so irritated. Maybe because you know you shouldn't have all this stuff. But anyways, humble spirit, lowly. Proud, slow to anger, ruler of the spirit, pride. That's all that is, pride, them mighty and taking the city. Come up hither than to be put down. I mean, you're just going to be, you're going to fall. A pride bringeth destruction. That's what it says in the Bible. So, God said it. How are you going to argue with that? Wisdom and understanding is better than gold and silver. When you stand before God one day, no amount of money is going to buy you anything with God. He's got streets of gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl. What are you going to buy God? You know, what are you going to give him? 8x10 of yourself in the corner in a really nice frame. Really nice frame. They're on sale at Dayton's. Dayton's isn't around, is it? Poor wisdom, foolish stubbornness. Somebody that's near, somebody that's afar off. Help, no help. That's godliness. All these, look at the attributes, and look at they're all attributes of Christ. This is just me talking, but all these verses were written before Christ died on the cross. You could now, if Christ has died, you could put him in all those spots. On this side. Really. Little with Jesus Christ. Dinner of herbs where Christ is. He's love. He's righteousness. He's integrity. He's uprightness. He's quiet. He's peace. He's everything. Everything that is better is in Christ. It's in Christ. It's just simple. The Bible is just a simple book. And I know it is because I'm simple. And I can get little things out of it like this. I know a lot of this, you're probably just going, well, duh, I knew that. Well, I just read it, so bear with me, you know. Okay, four things. Four better is's that I got from the better is's, okay? Better is a future reward than present pleasure. What do you do with your money? What do you buy that you just absolutely have to have that couldn't be used for Christ? I just heard, forgive me if you're an animal lover, but I'm not, and somebody just had their dog operated on and it cost them $3,000. I'm sorry. I will never do that. Dear, I'm not going to do that. If the dog gets lame and he needs a $3,000 surgery, he's going to find an untimely end somewhere. Okay? It's not worth. What could that $3,000 do in a church that's serving the Lord? Seriously, how many missionaries could you support? You could support a missionary for $50 a month for how many months? You could have paid for a trip for somebody to go overseas with Dave and Caleb. But no, my dog's lame. Really? Your mutt? Come on, it's a dog. It's not a human being. Sorry. Better is future reward. What? Lay up treasure in heaven, right? Isn't that what God said? Better is a future investment than present popularity. There again, it kind of falls into the money thing. Most of these do. Better is present sacrifice than future regret. And better is to presently live for Christ than in the future wishing you had. It isn't about material. It isn't all about material things. It's about spiritual things too. It's better. Christ is better. It's better to serve Christ than anything else. But we have the best. Christ is better. But this is the best. This is better than that. No. Christ is better. It's not about now. It is about. It's about now and it's about the future. Christ has been the same ever since the beginning, and he's the same today, and he's the same tomorrow. What do you can't find a stock market like that, or a stock to invest in that's going to give you that return. There's no stock on earth that you can invest in today that you're going to have for eternity. It's just here on earth. I'm not saying stocks are a bad thing. But what are we using? What do we think is better compared to this? Compared to what God says is better, what do we think is better? And is it really worth our time and money to invest in it? What are we doing for Christ? There's a world that's dying and going to hell. What are we using our money and our resources for? There's nothing better in this world than Jesus Christ. And investing in his work. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your Bible. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I just thank you that sometimes I know when I read it, I just get set straight, and you kind of slap me around. And Lord, I need it. I need it all the time. And I just pray, Lord, that maybe this spoke to someone's heart tonight. I don't know. Maybe it made somebody mad. I hope not. I just hope they would pray and get it right. But Lord, be with us now and help us search our hearts and make right choices. And let's thank you again for all these people coming out. I know Pastor's gone and some people stay home when he's not here, but Lord, I just pray that you'd bless our time together in your word. In your name, amen. All right, grab a hymn book, turn to 414.